Hi everyone, welcome to Life Transitions. My guest for today is Mr. Jordan Gio, who is the Wellness Program Supervisor at Vantage. Hi Jordan, how are you?
Fantastic.
So Jordan, tell me, what kind of populations, people, individuals do you work with?
Well, we do work with a range of populations from probably adolescents all the way through to the gerontology population, but the most that we deal with is probably the middle age to gerontology population.
And middle age is what age?
It can range, obviously, but I would probably start with around the age of 50.
What kind of problems typically you work with when you are working, say, with a 50-year-old? How do those problems change when you work with a 65-year-old?
Well, I would say the biggest issues would be poor nutritional habits as well as a lack of physical activity. And it will definitely decrease or trend downward in terms of what's considered ideal from 50 to 65 in both categories.
Jordan, when people don't eat well and don't exercise, what kind of illnesses, diseases, and life problems would they have?
Well, around here, especially, and around here meaning the southern United States, diabetes is becoming more and more prevalent, unfortunately. But that's certainly one of the most common instances. And then, of course, you get into cardiovascular disease, which can be heart attack, stroke being a very major instance that we want to try to avoid. You can run into other situations, but those two things, cardiovascular disease and diabetes, are without a doubt the two most common things that we deal with.
So why is it so prevalent in southern part of America?
That would be mostly because of our nutritional habits. We eat a lot of things with salt in them, which causes our blood pressure to elevate. As your blood pressure elevates, then you're causing an increased workload on your heart as well as your vessels, and that can certainly lead to the cardiovascular issues. And then we also like our sweets, and of course that would lead to issues with blood sugar and diabetes. And then animal fats. We like our meats and our fatty meats, and that's high in saturated fat. The saturated fat can lead to cholesterol issues, which again will lead to cardiovascular situations.
And we also eat a whole lot of fried food.
Absolutely. And that would be usually your saturated fats would be the oil that you're frying the food. And, and of course, you're usually frying some sort of meat unless you're doing the French fries and potatoes and things like that.
But Jordan, we cannot live on vegetables alone, can we?
You can live on them, certainly. In the southern United States, it would be difficult to break the old habits that you probably grew up with. Certainly, if you grew up eating meat, it's very difficult to change that habit, especially when your support system, meaning your family, your friends, the individuals you work with, everybody around you is not jumping on board eating just vegetables. It makes it very difficult to do so. So when you go to family gatherings and gatherings with friends, we center all of that around food. That's just our culture. And it won't change. That's without a doubt, at least not anytime soon. And so when you do that, it's usually a group effort in terms of food, and the food is usually centered around the meat, and then you have your, what we consider the sides. It's not the main course. That's your vegetables.
And we also pick up our habits, especially eating habits and life habits, from our parents.
Absolutely. That's where it all starts. And it's not that our parents are doing anything wrong. It's they were taught a certain way by their parents, so on and so forth. And until enough education comes out, things won't really change. I say education. The education is actually out there. But, until the education starts being implemented to each generation by the generation that they're becoming, culturally trained by, then things probably won't change too much.
So that's the kind of intervention you offer to your clientele, where you teach them mm-hmm. about habits that will prolong their lives mm-hmm. and how to exercise?
Yes. The nutritional aspect is education on the adjustments that they can make. We're talking about a cultural trend or cultural habits and traditions that, as I mentioned before, they're not going to be completely changed. That's not going to happen. And we don't ask our patients to do that. We ask them to start implementing small things, small changes. That can range from just when you do fry foods, fry it into a different type of oil. You know, you don't have to use that same oil that you've always used. And, you know, or a different kind of, for instance, steak. You know, a lot of people in this area love steak. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it would be just a switch from a ribeye to a sirloin or to, you know, of course, a filet, which is a lot more expensive, but certainly a little bit healthier than the ribeye because the ribeye is real fatty. And that's usually why everybody loves it. And I get that.
So what you are saying is we need to take those smaller steps and then bring in changes little by little by little instead of trying to change overnight.
Absolutely. And, you know, you saying small steps is perfect for what we try to implement nutritionally as well as physical activity. You know, we don't ask anybody to jump up and try to run a marathon. It's a small step. Let's get better at standing up and sitting down from your seat. Let's get better at walking to your mailbox and back. Let's get better at these small things. And then over time, you know, we want to become more efficient at everything that you do in your daily life. And as that starts to improve, usually that's motivation. Once you get that motivation, our need for motivation, you know, isn't really warranted. You're ready to do it. We just, you know, can guide you in a direction, and then you're off to the races, and that's what we're looking for.
Is it possible to reverse diseases like diabetes, cardiovascular problems?
No, not necessarily reverse them. Now, you can start to help the underlying causes and get them to trend into a more acceptable or positive direction, but to get rid of the traumatic effect that you've already caused from those situations, you can't get rid of those. If you have a heart attack, the damage to the heart is already done. You're not going to bring back the tissue that you lost there. That's going to always be that way. Same for diabetes. Once you affect your ability to process insulin or to produce insulin, it's already affected. You can't change that. Now, you can control your blood sugar and you can help control your A1C, but you're not going to completely reverse the diabetic situation and your body's ability to process insulin. Once you have a stroke, the damage you cause to your brain, you're not going to completely reverse that. Now, some have not had as severe residual effects as some others, but they didn't completely reverse anything. They have just adapted and been able to compensate for some things. And, you know, and some do develop the ability to do things that they had once lost, and that's great, but the damage has been done. So the goal is to change the underlying causes and get those to trend into a more positive direction.
For people who lead very busy lives, how can they incorporate exercising in their routines?
This is actually one of my favorite topics just because it is so relevant in today's world. There was research that came out about exercise's benefits. And exercise, for me, comes down to actually what is the definition of exercise. And exercise is just planned physical activity. That's all it is. Physical activity is body movement. Now, exercise is meant to obviously have a health benefit, of course, a benefit for your body. So physical activity needs to be similar. So waving your hand, yeah, that's body movement, but that's not going to necessarily be beneficial to your body or your health. So the physical activity does need to incorporate something, large muscle groups and larger body movements. But it being planned physical activity to be determined exercise, that you can do physical activity by just walking from your car into your work. That's physical activity. Walking in that sense is no different than getting on a treadmill and turning it on and walking on a belt, you know, like a mouse on a wheel. It's the same thing. Actually, it's more difficult off the treadmill. Just incorporating it into your little breaks throughout the day. 10-minute break, you can take a 5-minute walk. And the research that I mentioned earlier about the exercise benefits, it was shown that you can split your exercise up into different bouts throughout the day and still get the same benefits. So, you know, if the recommendation is 30 minutes a day, then you can split that up into 3 10-minute bouts. So if you have a little break in the morning, you just take a 10-minute walk. Take another one at lunch, 10-minute walk, and another one in the evening at 10 minutes. Well, instead of having to dedicate 30 minutes of time in one part of your day, you can just allocate 10 minutes, you know, certain parts of the day. But now, that doesn't mean that 31-minute bouts is going to do the same. I'm not saying that. You still have to do a little bit of something where your heart rate gets up and stays up for a little bit longer, but you can certainly split it up, and that makes it a lot easier to fit in.
Jordan, that was excellent information.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. This is Anita Sharma. My guest for today was Jordan Gill, who is the Wellness Program Supervisor at Vantage. Thank you.
Thank you.